Scripture reading for the lesson is Psalm 1, 1 through 2. If you're using the Bible located in the pew in front of you, it's page 448. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night.
It's good to see you this evening. I know that we've got a number who are traveling and a number who are at Peach Valley this week, and we'll be praying for the success of that camp. I know Jordan and Aaron Moore do just an amazing, phenomenal job of putting on that camp every year, and lots and lots and lots of helpers and counselors and others from here and from other places that are involved. And so keep all of them in your prayers. It's a great work. And I told all of them the forecast is for rain, and they just kind of grin. So, you know, you got to do what the weather does when you go to camp, but be praying for them this week. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 119. I thought we'd spend a few moments tonight talking about the discipline of meditating on God's Word. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to meditate on the Bible. They're not exactly the same thing. To read the Bible means that we sit down and we have a section that we're going to look over and we're going to process and try to think about what we've learned. But to meditate, it's like a cow chewing its cud. It's to think about the Bible and to think about the principles and the verses that we've read and to let them become a part of us. Because just because you read and comprehended does not mean that you've really internalized what God has said to you. There was a lady one time that was bragging to the preacher, and she said, "Preacher, I'm a Bible reader, and I've been through the Bible 5 times this year." And without missing a beat, the preacher asked, "Yes, but how many times has the Bible been through you?" That's what we're talking about when we talk about meditating on God's Word. Almost everybody has a favorite translation of the Bible. We here at Katy, we in our pews, we have the ESV, the English Standard Version. Maybe you like a different version better, or maybe you have a version that you like to study. Almost everybody has their preference. But the very best translation of God's Word is when God's Word is translated into our lives. When we take the Word of God and its message and its intent and the words that God has given us, and we put them into practice. James 1:22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We need to spend time slowly meditating on God's Word. And that word slowly is important because you can't meditate in a hurry. When we talk about meditation, people think about sometimes Eastern meditation, you know, transcendental and, New Age, those kinds of things. That's not what we're talking about here. When we talk about Eastern meditation, that idea and that concept, that's about emptying your mind, and it's about, you know, freeing yourself from thoughts and that's not what meditating on Scripture is. Meditating on Scripture is actually filling your mind with God's Word and letting God's Word seep into your heart and into your soul. And so that's what we need to spend some time considering tonight. Do you meditate on the Word of God? If you're looking at Psalm 119, verse 11, that'll be our first stop this evening, a number of verses to bring to your attention. Let's look at some passages in Scripture about this. Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Your word I have hidden where? I've hidden in my heart. For what reason? That I might not sin against you." Somebody says that takes the very best possession, the Word of God, and it puts it in the very best place, our hearts, for the very best purpose, so that we might not sin against God. Meditating on God's Word, thinking about what He said to us. Again, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, in Matthew 4, verse 4, He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Those are the words of someone who spent time meditating on the Scripture. And incidentally, when Jesus quoted Scripture in Matthew chapter 4, He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy 3 times. He had thought deeply. He had thought long about what's in the book of Deuteronomy. When was the last time you and I have done that? Again, passages about meditation. Open your Bibles to this one. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Open your Bibles to that passage and look. It's a familiar passage, but think about what it's telling us. It says, 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God. It's inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. For this purpose, listen to verse 17 carefully, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is not just for our information. It's not even just for our fascination. It does give us those things, but it's so much more. The Bible is intended for our transformation. And when we meditate on God's word, transformation takes place. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds, Paul writes in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. When God's word is getting into my mind and my heart, and I'm keeping it there, and I'm thinking about what he said, transformation can take place. I can be changed to be more like Jesus, and so can you. Again, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, the Hebrews writer says that God is going to make a new covenant, and the new covenant is going to be of this nature, God says in this verse. He says, I am going to put my law in their hearts, in their minds, and I'm going to write my law on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, says the Lord. One of the characteristics of the new covenant is that we meditate on God's word, that we have it stored in our minds and hearts. It's important to take God's word and to put it in our minds and hearts. Look in your Bibles at Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Again, a number of passages to look at tonight. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, the Hebrews writer says, he's writing to people who are in danger of drifting away, in danger of falling away and leaving Jesus. Therefore, he says, we Christians must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Some translations say we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. It's talking about the gospel. For what reason, Hebrews writer? Lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared from angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape, Christians, if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The Hebrews writer is saying, if you want to remain faithful to God, if you don't want to give up, you're going to have to listen carefully, pay much closer attention to the gospel, to what it teaches. Otherwise, we're in danger of drifting. Passages about meditation. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul's writing to Timothy, a young preacher, and telling him some things that he needs to do for his ministry. And he says in 1 Timothy 4:15, as he's wrapping up his thoughts, he says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them so that your progress may be evident to all. One of the things that happens when you make meditating on God's word a discipline in your life, you'll start to grow. And it's not like I'm showing everybody that I'm growing kind of thing, but when you're growing as a Christian, other people notice. It's certainly true of preachers, but it's true of all of us. People notice when you've been in the Word, when you've been with the Word, when you spent time meditating on God's Word. Psalm 119, 105, your Word, the psalmist writes, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and it's dark and maybe your power's out? Perish the thought, but maybe your power's out and there's no light at all. Isn't it nice to have a flashlight? Isn't it nice to have something to show you where you can step safely without bumping your knee or your shin into something? Your word, oh God, is a lamp for my life. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We need to meditate on God's word because of its light. And again, Psalm 63, the psalmist says in verse 6, I meditate on you, O God, in the night watches. I'm constantly thinking about you. There are many, many, many passages in Scripture that encourage us and edify us and teach us that meditation is something that God's people have always been a part of and expected to do, because we want God's word to be such a deep part of our lives. We want to have such an impact on us. Again, some reasons for meditation, secondly, this evening. Just share a few of these with you. Reason number one, why should I meditate on God's word? Because God's words are life. There is life in those words. John 6:53, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, Jesus says, you have no life in you. And then when the apostles are about to go away and Jesus says, are you about to leave? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, John 6, verse 68. I want life. I want the words of life. Those words bring life. They bring renewal. They bring refreshing to our hearts and our lives. Why should we meditate? Because God's words are the words of life. Not only that, but when you read Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, God commands us to meditate on his word. Why should I meditate? Why should you meditate? Because God commands it. He tells the Israelites, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these words, he says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, they shall be in your hearts and in your minds. Write them on the doorposts of your house. Put them everywhere in your home. God commands us to think about his word. I know some Christian people who have over the years, especially when kids were in the house, they've had Bible verses that they'd put on the bathroom mirrors and the whole family would try to learn a scripture together. Or they would sing verses like we do in Kids Sing together at night and they would try to memorize more of God's word. There are some really good reasons for us to get more of God's word into our hearts and minds. God commands it. Again, reasons for meditation. Reason number three, because we love God. If you love God, if you care about him, if you're thankful and grateful to him, why would you not care about listening to what he says? Psalm 119, verse 97, the psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I love your law, oh God. I love your word, and I love you, and therefore I will meditate on your word. We can't live without it. That's a reason for meditation. Job 23, verse 12. Job says, I have treasured the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. And what he's saying basically is this. I've made a decision. I cannot live without the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. Reasons for meditation, because I love God and I love his word so much and I just feel like I can't live without it. I'm going to make terrible mistakes. Why should we meditate on God's word? Number five, because the Bible commands us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. The Bible commands us, it tells us that we ought to be ready to give an answer. Why do you live the way you live? Why are you making the choices you're making? Why do you bear up under such pressure and struggle as a Christian? Why do you do those things? 1 Peter 3:15, with meekness, with gentleness, be ready to give an answer. Meekness and fear. Again, reason for meditation, because it's essential for growth. We ought to desire the sincere milk of God's word, 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, that we may grow thereby. When a newborn baby comes into this world, and aren't we thankful for newborn babies? We also really want that baby to eat because that is essential to the baby thriving and growing. And so you go for your checkups and the doctor will ask, you know, well, how's the baby eating? Is everything okay? Christians ought to ask every once in a while, what kind of diet do you have spiritually? We ought to ask ourselves. We ought to ask each other. What have you been feeding on? What have you been eating? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Reason for meditating on God's word. It also helps us to avoid religious error. When we meditate on the word of God, when we think about it, we put it in our hearts, it helps us to avoid religious error. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. One of the preventives for false teaching, false doctrine, is for God's people to listen and meditate to what his word says. And then when somebody tells us something or proclaims something that's not true, that's not from scripture, you know God's word says otherwise. I've been thinking about that very principle. I've been thinking about what the scriptures teach. I've been meditating on this. It's a preventive for false teaching. And again, it also is a matter of influence. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, when we meditate on God's word, we become more like the salt of the earth. We become more of a light to the world. Think about it. If God's word is the light to our path, we want to be the people who bring light to those around us. Doesn't it make sense that there's a correlation between how much of God's word is in my heart and how much of an influence I have on the people around me? Doesn't that make sense? There's a correlation. If I'm thinking about God's word, I'm meditating on it, and I'm growing closer to God, I'm growing in my relationship with him, it's going to help me to have an influence on the people that God puts into my life. A lot of good reasons for meditation. So maybe you're listening to all this and you say, okay, John, I see from Scripture that this is something God desires of me. He wants me to think about His Word. He wants me to put it in my heart. How do you go about doing that? Glad you asked. Let's talk about this very just briefly. This is a very simple way, meditating on God's Word. And I'm just going to give you a few suggestions. There are lots and lots of ways to do this. Here is my suggestion. Number one, we ought to start with prayer. It's amazing how many spiritual things we start without prayer. But really, isn't that the first place we ought to go? Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. That's what the psalmist prays. And that's a great prayer for you to memorize and use. God, I want to think about your word very intently, and I want to spend time meditating on your word. God, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. Number two, we need to read something, a section of scripture, because it's hard to meditate on what's not in your head, what's not in your mind. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I want to meditate for the purpose of being able to put this maybe into practice in my life, but I certainly want my attitudes and my heart and my thoughts and my words to be changed by what I read and what I think about. And so you read. I said a few weeks ago in a Sunday night sermon, and I really believe this is true, with God's word, it doesn't take a lot to do a lot. When you think about Ephesians 4:32, for example, be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving. You think about those three commands, imperatives, and there's a lifetime of challenge just in those three. It doesn't always take a lot of God's word to accomplish a lot. And so we're not talking about reading volumes of scripture. That'd be wonderful if you do it, but you don't have to do that in order to meditate on God's word. What about this? Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What if you just took that one verse and meditated on that all day long? God, are the words of my mouth and are the meditations of my heart, are they really acceptable in your sight? And after all, are you really my strength? Where am I looking for counsel and strength and wisdom? And are you really my redeemer? Those are things to think about. That's meditating. Just one verse. You can do that. And then practice of meditation. Number three, dwell. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk and doesn't stand and doesn't sit, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That man shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Dwell on what the word says. I don't, right now in my life, I don't make this a practice currently, but I've done this in the past. I have selected at times in my life, I've selected one memory verse or one section of scripture that seemed especially pertinent to what I was going through. And then I try to live with that for a week. Think about that. So whatever's happening in your life, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're happy about, if everything is good in your life, why not pick some of the Psalms that talk about praise Him and give Him thanks for His goodness toward us? But think about something that is especially relevant to your life, your situation, your circumstance. Take that one section of Scripture and then live with it. I'm going to live with it for a week. So it's Sunday night. I'm going to live with this passage, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then I'll pick another passage next week. I've done that before. It's a very effective way to meditate, dwelling on God's word. It's a discipline. Here are some suggestions as we dwell on God's word. What are some things you could do? Because you say, okay, dwell. How does that look, John? You could, for example, just memorize. The only way to memorize that I've found that works is repetition and repetition. And repetition. I know sometimes people, you say, well, they've got a photographic memory. If you've got one of those, good for you. I'd like to talk to you because I don't know how that works because I don't have that. But repetition, I do have, and I can do that. And so repeat, 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 repeat. And you know what happens as you're repeating the scripture back to yourself, as you're saying it out loud, as you're writing it down. I do that too, by the way, when I'm memorizing a passage. I write it down and then I turn the paper over and I try to see, okay, can I write it down again? There are apps on your phone where you can memorize. Repetition is the key. And as you're repeating it, you're thinking about what it means. You're not just doing this rote because it doesn't stick with you if you're just putting the words on the page. If you're thinking about what the words mean, though, you are meditating and you're memorizing at the same time. We can sing. Kids sing is especially effective for this very purpose. Many of us in this room know all of 1 Corinthians 13. Now, we might be a little bit rusty, but we know all of that chapter. And think about, it's a chapter about love, and it's a chapter about spiritual gifts, and it's a chapter about what's really important in the church and in my life. And I could just sing. Or as we did in Kids Sing Tonight, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's a way to meditate on Scripture. So, have you ever done this as you're driving to work or school or wherever you go during the day? Turn the radio off, it can be done, and sing, I am crucified with Christ, as you're driving down the road. Wonderful way to meditate on God's Word and think about your relationship with Him while you're doing that. You could take a passage, and we're talking about a lengthier passage now. Take a passage and make an outline of it. If you're wired that way, if you're geared that way, and many of you are, make an outline of the passage. Or if you don't like outlines, write it in your own words. What does this passage mean? What does God want me to know about this passage, about Him, about my relationships with people in this passage? Write it in your own words. That's a way, a means of meditating. You could also just listen. There are so many ways to listen to God's Word. You could listen to podcasts. You could listen to the Bible having been recorded. It used to be on cassette tapes, then it became CDs, and now it's available to live stream just anywhere you go with your mobile device. But listen to God's Word, another way to meditate. The point is this. It's not just about processing the words. It's about internalizing those words. That's the key. So when you decide you're going to meditate, take a verse. I'm going to live with this verse for the week, or I'm going to live with this verse for the day. Take the verse, live with the verse, but you got to internalize it over and over and over. Did you know that every single one of us is constantly having a conversation with ourselves? Did you know that? Think about what you do during the day. You're constantly talking to yourself. You're constantly saying things to yourself. Meditating on God's Word is basically taking that conversation and replacing that conversation with God's Word. That's really what it boils down to. Instead of talking to myself and telling myself this and that, I am going to let God's Word be the dominant message in my mind for at least a little while. There are practical, there are spiritual, there are eternal benefits that come from meditating on God's Word. And I hope and pray that maybe something in this lesson has encouraged you to think more seriously about doing that in your life. Just take a verse. Just take a short passage and try it. Meditate on God's Word. It'll change your life. Thank you so much for your attention this evening. If we can help you to obey the gospel, or if we can pray for you, why don't you make your need known while together we stand and while we sing.